road. Amen. And Hebrews 11 and verse 6 and verse 7 we're going to read. And it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Verse 7 says, where I'll be preaching from this morning, it says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen. You notice the correlation with verse 7, but without faith it's impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. There are some things that you're not going to always see. Well, Noah being warned of God of things not seen as yet. Somebody say not yet. Moved with fear or moved with reverence, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir, or the heir of the inheritance of the righteousness which is by works. Which is by faith. Which is by faith. Somebody say it's by faith. And so Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear or reverence, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which is condemned the world, and became a heir or the inheritance of righteousness which is by faith. And I want to preach to you this morning. I feel that God has given me this message this morning for us. And I'm going to be preaching this somewhere else as well. I feel God is, Lord, if the Lord allows me to do that. But I want to preach on this thought, until it starts raining. Until it starts raining. Some things you don't understand, you won't recognize until it starts raining. I want it to rain the power of God and the Holy Spirit in this place, the Holy Ghost. These signs shall follow them that believe. Any believers in the house of God this morning, would you lift your voices? Would you begin to pray that God would help us to be doers of His Word this morning? Can we do that? Let's pray. Father, we love You. We pray this morning. Help us to be a doer, God. Help us to be a doer of Your Word today, God. For all that have come, God, have come with different needs, situations, God. Some with doubt, some with faith, God. Some with prayer, God. Some with frustration, God. Some with sickness, God, but some with the joy in their spirit, God. And we clap our hands unto You, and we lift our voice, and we thank You this morning. In Jesus' name, somebody say amen. God bless you. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord. When we see that word, fear, it means circumspect, or as the Scripture tells us in Ephesians, to walk circumspectly, wise, not as fools, redeeming the time because the days are evil. So when you see that word, when it says by Noah being warned of God of things not seen yet, moved with fear, it means that he was very careful. He was very reverent to walk with caution. He was well considered when the Lord asked him and told him to do something. There's so much content in these verses here. Notice what the Scripture tells us in Genesis. In Genesis specifically, Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. And the Scripture says, and God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now, there's something, those of you that have been around Pastor Panero's teaching, there's a Scripture that I use often. I reference it's Genesis 2 and 7, and it says, and God formed man from the dust of the earth. When you look at that word form, let's go back there, Sister Tori, real quick. It's the same when it says, and every imagination of the thoughts of the heart was only evil continually. There's the same correlation there in Scripture, where when God formed man, these people, these men are forming thoughts of every imagination that is wicked in the sight of God. Thank you. And the Scripture tells us in Genesis 6 and 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. There's a lot of people today that are finding grace or favor in the eyes of a lot of people. But what matters most, saints of God, is that we find favor and grace in the eyes of the Lord. Let's not fear what people may think or perceive of us, but let us be more concerned about what God really, truly does know about us. Somebody say amen. Notice this. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation. And Noah walked with God. This just... very few people in the scripture where that is said about. Enoch is one of them. And the scripture says in verse 13, and God said unto Noah, and he begins to tell him, the end of all flesh has come before me. Silence, and I'm going to destroy them of the earth. In verse 14, he tells him, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shall thou make in the ark. And thou shalt pitch it within, or put tar within and without within and without, put tar in and out of it. Verse 18, with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Verse 22, and Noah disobeyed, and he did his own thing. What does it say? Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him. So did he. Noah was obedient. Our scripture text this morning finds us meandering through the life and the ministry of a man named Noah. The story of Noah and the ark is one that has always intrigued me since I've heard it for the first time and begin to read and study it for myself. It's hard for us to not imagine there not be any rain. It's hard for us because from our earliest of days, we have had rain. We may not always get enough rain. We may sometimes, as it's been in a couple, maybe last year, we sometimes end up with too much rain for some people. But rain was something that we have always experienced. Rain is something that we as folks, especially that live in California, we're accustomed to having rain. But in Noah's day, it was not so. In fact, the Bible tells us early on in Genesis 2 and 5, the scripture says that God had not caused it to rain upon the earth. Today, we find it to be strange that if we don't have any rain, we call that a drought. But we know that in the scripture that before that time, there had not been rain. In fact, the Bible tells us that Noah was a just man and walked in his generation, and Noah walked with God. What an honor for the Lord to be able to say, this man is just, this man is upright, he is walking with me. And there's something that obviously Noah got the attention of the Lord, and Noah was a man that could handle what God was calling him to do. There's some things that God maybe is wanting some of us to do, but maybe God can't trust us. How many trust God? But how many can truthfully say that you know what, I would do whatever God is asking me to do? I think there's some of us that we have our limits and there's some reservation, but God said, you know what, there's a man that is upright, there's a man that is righteous, there's a man that is pleasing to me, and I'm going to have him do something that I'm not going to ask anybody else ever in the history of the world again to do. But because Noah is upright, Noah is a man that is righteous and just and walk with God, he's going to be able to do something that we read about in scriptures that we understand today, that we have a rainbow that testifies of the obedience of a man named Noah. When you read the scriptures, we don't know the name of Noah's wife. We don't hear much. We know the name of his three sons, but we don't know the name of his three daughter-in-laws. We don't know anything beyond what we get in Genesis chapter 6 through Genesis chapter 9. We don't have any much more of that besides a few verses in the New Testament. But are we the type of Christian? Are we the type of believer that God can look down and say, you know what? I can trust them. I can trust them with what they got, and they've been a faithful steward, and I'm going to trust them with with a little bit more because they're faithful and dependable. Come on, somebody. Are we faithful and are we dependable with what God has entrusted into us? Notice what the scripture tells us in 1 Corinthians 15:58. It says, therefore, beloved brethren, be steadfast or be faithful, be unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain unto the Lord. Do we get sidetracked with God, and are we lagging behind and getting sidetracked with all the distractions that are amongst us? Having to pray through every Sunday night or every Sunday morning over the things that we supposedly had laid down at the altar, but we pick those things back up sometimes before we even leave the service, and we carry it, we put it on like a backpack, and then we gripe and complain and murmur that, God, I'm going through the same thing again. Baby, you shouldn't have to go through the same thing again if you learned your lesson the first time, and if you laid it down at the foot of the altar and you let the Lord burn it out of you and then burn it through you. You see, there's always going to be something that is going to be competing for our attention. There's always going to be someone that is contending for our attention. There will always be places that will always be contending for our attention. That's why the Bible tells us in Jude chapter 1 and verse 3, he says, I exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Your relationship with God is worth fighting for. Your relationship with God is worth enduring some heartaches. It's to him which endureth until the end, the same that shall be saved. Your walk with God is something that is worth getting up in the morning and saying, you know what? Come hell or high water, I'm going to live for God. Come hell or high water, I'm going to make sure I serve him. No matter the weapon, no matter what comes my way, I'm going to serve the Lord.
Amen.
The Bible tells us to contend for the faith. There's always going to be something that will tempt or tease the flesh. The tempter will tempt you. We saw that firsthand in the scripture with Jesus being tempted by the devil himself. Some of us are tempted by materialism, and we're tempted by things of our past. But what if you were in the flesh, literal flesh, if the tempter came and actually tempted you and say, well, sometimes we're tempted because of our own mistakes and bad decision and the things we hear and see that we shouldn't be hearing and seeing anyways, and it tempts us. But we don't understand, well, why is that thing luring at me? Is because the temptation is real and the devil is real.
Right.
Temptation is the act of tempting. It's an act. There's an action. It's the enticement or the allurement. It's an attraction. Temptation is like a lure. That's where we get the lure or allurement. It's where we get that. It's something used to draw or recall. It's a decoy. It's what it is. It looks to be something that is not. Fishermen use decoys when they go fishing. The hunters use decoys when they go hunting. Satan will use people, places, and things to lure us in order to get us to fall or stumble or quit or get discouraged or lose faith. Satan will do that, but if we can be like Noah, when we walk with God and we talk with God and the tempter or the temptation comes, the Bible says that Noah found grace or favor in the eyes of God.
Yeah.
Building a foundation. It don't make sense here in a moment, but the scripture says he was a just man, perfect in his generation. And Noah walked with God. Noah was just and righteous. Noah had favor with God. When everyone and everything around him was unrighteous, Noah remained righteous. When the thoughts and the imaginations of the world and his generation and everybody around him and those of his city and neighborhood, the scripture would tell us was wicked. Every thought and imagination that was formed, it was evil and vile, that God said, I gotta do something. Noah remained faithful. Noah remained holy. Noah remained righteous. He did it before God. Noah had a lot of temptation in his day. Nobody here today probably has had to deal with what Noah has dealt with, because we got 150 plus people that are probably in this facility today that have come to worship the Lord. We encourage one another. We uplift one another. But Noah just had himself and his family. And we're not even sure if his family was holy and upright like Noah. Because the scripture doesn't say. It doesn't say that they weren't. But it doesn't say that they were. We don't even know Noah's wife's name. And know it's not Joan of Arc. But Noah had a lot of temptation around him. Genesis 6 and 5 says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." As we today watch the downward spiral of society today, we realize that something's about to explode. Something's got to change.
Yeah.
When we look at the deteriorating moral values in the world, the things that people are screaming and fighting for that are obviously contrary to the scripture, and the addictions that are around us, and the violence that is amongst us, the disobedience, and we look at the scripture. And Jonah, and Noah's day in Genesis 6 and 11, it says the earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. When you look at that word corrupt, it means it was infected, it was tainted, it was decayed, it was guilty of dishonest practices, it was lacking integrity. God help us, we're living in that day right now. But there were in that time that we're reading in scripture, we're seeing the correlation of that today and then some. But there was a man that was holy and righteous that found favor with God, and he remained righteous in an unrighteous world. And I got a challenge for us today, this morning. We can look and we can point fingers and we can shake our head and we can roll the windows up and drive past and pretending we don't see some of the unrest and the ungodly things, immoral things that we hear and see and read about, and say, you know what, God help us. But God help us if we don't have a relationship with the Lord and we're not living righteous and holy before God, because we know too much and He's done too much for us, that nobody here today can sit and say, you know what, Jesus, I'll never forget what you've done for me. But sometimes we forget, and God help us this morning to remember where God has brought us from. See, nobody worries about calamity until calamity comes. Nobody's worried about the rainbow until it starts raining. And when it starts raining, you all of a sudden you start looking for a $5 umbrella and say, you know what? Where's that umbrella at? And you know where we find it? Where we last left it. And for Pastor Panero, it's in the trunk of my car. I leave it there year round. And saints of God, some of us, I gotta go back and pick up that dusty Bible that you left where you last left it, and your prayer life, and say, you know what? I gotta pick it up, because nobody cares about an umbrella until it starts raining. And saints of God, we cannot have our walk with God to be something we don't care about until calamity comes. But God help us to be ready and righteous when God calls us. I like what the scripture says. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord promised to them that love him. You know, Noah no doubt had every opportunity to listen to God when he was told to build the ark. But he listened. I'm glad Noah listened. He said, make an ark. These are the dimensions. Make it 150 feet long, 75 feet wide, 45 feet high. God gave him the precise instruction on what to do, what materials to do. And that's all he had. All he had was a word from God.
Yep.
That's all he had. All we have today is a word from God. What do we do with that word? Where is your Bible at if you don't have it with you this morning? Shame on you if you come to church and you don't bring your Bible. Shame on you. Well, Pastor, I got it on my phone. Thank God you have a phone and you got your Bible on there. But shame on us if we look for status updates on social media, and we're not looking for status updates in the scripture. Shame on us. Come on, I'm pastoring here. Shame on us. If we got all the answers for everybody else and we want to post and talk about it, but the one that has the answer, he is not insurance. He is assurance. What we need is some assurance, and we got assurance. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against it. Saints of God, what we need again is a revival of a hunger and a thirst, not just for prayer, but of the word of God. I hear a lot of good messages. I know a lot of good books out there, but this is still the best-selling book in the history of the world. It has endured some things. Some of you got your Bibles here. Some of these men have traveled to countries that if they saw their Bible, they would kill them. But those men went in faith and said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I may be in an environment that if they catch me with this word, I may be in big trouble. But oh God, I've hid it in my heart that I won't sin against it. Come on, saints of God. We need to have a revival, a good old-fashioned hunger for the things of God all over again. God gave precise instruction to Noah, Brother Manuel, on what materials to use, and that's all he had. Think about it. Picture yourself building a boat the length of 1.5 football fields and as high as a 4-story building. The ark was exactly 6 times longer than it was wide. Noah got right to work when the Lord told him to build the ark. He got right to work. He didn't wait till there was a better time. Lord, did I hear you correctly? You might want to, I think you're talking to somebody else. I think you've, an ark? Yes, that's an ark. What is an ark? No YouTube. Some of you would backslide if it wasn't for YouTube. No book on ark making for dummies. No pictures of arks from times back. No ark making conventions or workshops at Home Depot. Just a word from God and what I need you to do. And this is how I need you to do it. So powerful. Could we live for God just off of a word, Brother Carlos? Just, Brother Angel, just a word. Just, God, just give me a word. Help me just to have that word. Jesus tells us in Luke that it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. Come on, somebody. He was putting down the no gluten, the no carb diet way before any of us were around. Bread alone. See, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word which proceeded out of the mouth of God, we read. In fact, it was John that writes in John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And I mentioned it earlier. The psalmist declares, Brother Nelson, the word is a lamp unto my feet, light unto my path. You can never go wrong by abiding by the word of God. Noah had a word from God, and that was enough. That's all he needed. Can the same be said about us this morning? Noah was asked to do something that he had never done before. Neither had it ever been done before. He didn't need 101 reasons and explanations and to be convinced and to have a revival service and to have a one-on-one appointment with pastor and then meet with somebody else so you could figure out if what he told you is true, and then you keep going on and on until you find someone that agree with you, or go find a book and then go check out this and that to find something that will suit your palate. But Noah had a word from God. He said, God, you're calling me. You're trusting me to do something. I'm going to do it. Rain hadn't come yet. Nobody had seen rain. Nobody had heard of rain. But Noah didn't say, well, what is this thing you're talking about, rain? What is rain? You know, maybe I heard something out in the sun when I was working in the grape vineyards. Maybe the scarecrow was talking to me. No, Noah heard from God. The flood wasn't coming yet, but it was coming. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house, powerful, and became the heir of the inheritance of righteousness, which is by faith. But Noah went and built the ark anyways. I wonder how many days Noah wanted to quit. Just think about it. I wonder how many days that Noah wanted to quit. Listen, what Noah was doing wasn't some shed in the backyard and some weekend honeydew that mama had asked him to do. This was an ark, man. This was a big deal. It wasn't just hammers and nails. There was no cranes. There was no electronic or electrical power, no power tools. This was just good old-fashioned obedience and work. Can I tell you, you can't beat good old-fashioned obedience and work in the church and out of the church. There's something to be said about a man and a lady that will obey and they will work. And they will work for God. They will work for their family. They will work for their community and they will obey. He that started a good work in you is going to complete what he started. God is going to complete what he started in each one of us. Somebody give God a praise. He didn't have the abundance of technology that we have today. Noah was an innovator. He was ahead of his time. Think about that. He was a visionary. Someone that had to walk by faith even when he had no clue about what was about to happen. Yeah. I mean, think about the planning and the preparation that had to go into place for what Noah was about to do, Sister Jessica. He had to prioritize. Yeah. He had to be diligent in days when he didn't feel like being diligent. He had to get out there and build the ark when he didn't feel like lifting up that hand and sawing and cutting the tree down and getting nails and driving it through. He had to haul wood and he had to do the sawing and the chopping and the sweating. It was back-breaking labor, saints. I'm sure there were certain neighbors that were nosy, right? Noah, what are you up to? Amanda, I'm certain there was people that said, that's just crazy old man Noah. Mama put something in his oatmeal. He hadn't been the same since. Dude is out there building this ark. This wasn't a canoe. There was a lot of planning and preparation. I mean, think about, the ark represented salvation. He was going to be saved regardless if the neighbors or the people across town or the other people in the other neighborhood or the people that his friends hung around with and that his friends or his kids would hang around with said, dude, your dad is like, woohoo, something wrong. Couple fries short. Something not all connected there. I mean, come on, what is he doing? This was not a canoe. This was not a shack. This was an ark, and all he had was a word from God that I need you to do something, and I'm going to renew my covenant with you, and your family's going to be saved because you're righteous and you're just in a wicked world that is getting wicked and wicked by the moment. Saints of God, it's the same thing for us. When the Lord says repent, be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Saints of God, we got to understand that God has entrusted our salvation. He's given us forgiveness and mercy today, and we can't squander it. Well, Pastor, they get out of church earlier than they do. We do. They don't have much going on like they do. Guess what? I'm not their pastor. God didn't call me to that church or that part of community. God called me right here to you precious people. I'm going to work. I'm going to labor. I'm going to preach what God has given me because I want you to be saved. And hear those words, well done, thy good, faithful servants. Noah was obedient. Noah kept doing what he needed to do. Notice what the scripture says. They drank, they married wives, they were given into marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came. Luke 17:27. It's got to mean something to us that whenever we gather in this place and we see one another, knowing that all of us are facing things, sins, issues, temptations, people, the cares of this life. And we are to uplift one another. We are to uplift one another. there is enough going against us before we get into this place. That when we get into this place, we ought to be unified as one church, one body, in fervent and in prayer and as worship. That's why the writer of Hebrews 3:13 says, but exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you become hardened through the facts of sin. No, it's through the deceitfulness of sin. Come on, somebody. There's sin that is lurking and luring and trying to allure you to fall down. But saints of God, we've got to hold on to the Word of God, which is tried and true, when He says, I'll never leave you or I won't forsake you. But pastor, you don't know what the attorney said. Guess what? He's the wonderful counselor. Well, pastor, you don't know what my bank account says. You know what? I don't need to know what your bank account says, because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Amen. The ark represented salvation. The church is a type of an ark. It represents a place of salvation, of safety, of community, of unity. The ark didn't make sense until it started raining.
That's it.
Mr. Carnado, it didn't make sense until it started raining. It doesn't make sense. The hard labor and the hours of sacrifice didn't make sense until it rained. Until then, it was just Dad doing his thing, building his boat in faith. Until then, it was just Dad talking about the word that he received. Until then, it was just crazy old man Noah chopping wood, cutting trees, sawing and hammering. Joseph, it looked foolish until it started raining. The animals entering two by two, whew, until it started raining.
Yeah.
The planting and the harvesting of all the food, Sister Lori, that was needed for the family and the animals. Why does somebody need all that onion? Why do you need all that hay? How many tomatoes can one family eat until it started raining? What are you doing, Noah? No need to go through all of that. I feel the Holy Ghost coming in here. Maybe you heard from God wrong. Maybe your hearing needs to be checked. You ought to go see a doctor. No. Noah, you've been building this for weeks and for months and for years now. Nothing's happened and you're still building this thing called an ark. What's up, man? Seriously, let's talk about it. You okay? I got a word from God. It don't make sense until it starts raining.
Right.
Nobody understands your worship or how you can worship and lift up your hands in the presence of God and how you can feel the Spirit of God pour down on you like rain until they walk through what you've walked through. And then you walk into this place and the music plays and the worship leader sings and the praise team leads in worship. And then it starts raining the Spirit of God and the glory of the Lord fills this place, and nobody can understand how you can walk through the things that you walk through and come in here and lift your hands and lift your voice and be saturated in the presence of a holy God until it starts raining the glory of the Lord on you. And you can lift up your hands and say, look what the Lord has done. Created me a clean heart, to renew a right spirit in me, until it starts raining hail and brimstone on your life, until you've had to bury people that have died lost, until you've had to walk through places that you've never imagined, to see the atrocities of the world, until it starts raining. You don't appreciate what you've got until it's gone. Saints of God, help us to appreciate what God has called us to and what He's brought us from, until it starts raining hail and fire and brimstone on us, literally and spiritually in our life. Oh God, help me to burn with the fire of the Holy Ghost and a passion for revival. But God, don't let me burn in a place called hell. Yeah. Until it starts raining.
Yeah.
Your commitment to faithfulness seems mundane and routine. Until God opens up that door that no man can shut and showers you with blessings in the presence of your enemy. Some of you got a lot of enemies. Some of you got a lot of haters. But you've been faithful. You've been steadfast. Some of you are living with some haters. But can I tell you, you be faithful with what God has blessed you with and entrusted you with, You give God the glory with what He has given you, and it'll start raining in front of everybody all over you. You will have room to be able to contain the blessings and the favor of God. But you don't see it, you don't understand it until it starts raining. What do you say, Pastor? I tell you, you better get you a Holy Ghost umbrella and get underneath it and say, God, I'm going to stay under the covering of you and my pastor and the blessings of God, because it's about to rain in here. Rain is coming, baby. It's going to rain the power of the Spirit of God, and it's going to rain blessings on particular people.
Yeah.
On particular people. There's about to be a pruning in this church.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. You watch. Pruning. Pruning is a good thing. It gets rid of some dead things.
Yeah.
Things that have got to go away in order for there to be growth. The pruning starts this morning.
Yeah.
God pruned some things out of me so some things in me can live and then rain on me the glory, the blessings, and the favor, because I'm walking by faith, not by sight. Why do you got that umbrella in your trunk of your car, Pastor, for 8, 9, 10 months? You know why? Because rain is coming and I'm going to need it. But it's just a $5 umbrella from Home Depot. Well, where's your umbrella, baby? Don't be asking me for my umbrella when it starts raining. Saints of God, it's about to start raining blessings and favor on some of you that no man can even be able to quantify. I would to God some of you would get up and receive that in Jesus' name. Until it starts raining, you don't understand it, and you don't see it, you don't appreciate it. Until it starts raining, but you step out, and you walk by faith, and God begins to share His Word. Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need. Woo! I wish somebody would run the aisle on that one. All my need. According to His riches in glory by Christ. In fact, I feel in the Holy Ghost right now. If you need a financial blessing right now, I want you to get out and walk around or take a lap by faith in Jesus. If you need it, I want you to walk in the Holy Ghost right now. And now those of us that are here that don't need one, let's rejoice with them in advance for what God's about to do. Come out. Let's rejoice with them in advance. Rejoice with them. We walk by faith. I'm walking by faith. Come on. Checks in the mail. Hours on the job. We'll say, Pastor's going to be free. Nah, you're going to have to work for it. Nothing comes free. Somebody pays for it. You may have to work in the Spirit. You may have to worship a little bit more. You may have to dance a little bit more. You may have to praise Him in advance. But nobody gets it until it starts raining. Woo! Nobody understands it until it starts raining. Huh? Till it starts raining. Huh? Until it starts raining. Until it starts raining. Huh? Before that, it's just another charitable donation. It's just another envelope offering. It's just another young person selling baked goods. But you step out by faith. Until it starts raining, the blessings and the favor of God. And everybody on their job is getting their hours cut. But you seem to be exempt from that. They're telling you no more overtime, but for some reason you end up with an extra couple hours of overtime every week. Guess what? Until it starts raining, you don't appreciate grabbing envelopes and paying your tithes and offering until God begins to pour out some things. Noah built an ark in faith and a word from God. Noah, did you want to quit? Yeah, I wanted to quit. Noah, was it easy? No, it wasn't easy. But notice what the Bible says about Noah. 2 Peter 2:5, his sister Para would come, but saved Noah to the 8th person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of an ungodly person. Give me some latitude here. I'm almost done. It says Noah was the 8th person.
Yeah.
Was he the last one to enter the ark? Was Noah gathering the food when the clouds rolled in? Was Noah standing at the edge of the door, because there was only one door, because there's only one way to heaven? Was he standing at the door and saying, God, I don't know what that gray thing in the sky is, but God, can you just kind of keep it away for a moment, because my middle son Ham is not here yet. And you promised that all my family, oh God. God, I got a daughter-in-law that's far from you right now. Oh God, I feel the Holy Ghost. God, would you just kind of, Lord, I heard your word and I got a little bit of more pitch in this little corner, Lord, and I'm trying to be faithful at work every day, God, and I don't want to slow down and mess up, God, but my wife hasn't been praying for a while and her sacrifices have kind of diminished, God, and I see these clouds. I haven't seen them before. I would have known it just Noah stood in the gap. Notice this, where the weeks and the months turn into years, and Noah put pitch in and pitch without. He put tar within and tar without. Tar was there to keep things in and to keep things out. Tar is a representation of holiness. We got to have holiness in and we got to have holiness out. Fences don't just keep us in and keep our families protected. Fences keep things out, saints of God. For without holiness shall no man see the Lord. You gotta have all that holiness. Yeah, because I want to see the Lord. And he said, be ye holy, for I am holy, saith the Lord. And I want to be holy. Nobody cares about the rain. Nobody cares about the ark until it started raining. In fact, I would go so far to say this morning that Noah looked like an idiot. Till it started raining. Till it started raining.
Yeah.
Till it starts raining.
Yeah.
Till it starts raining. And today, we have a rainbow.
Yeah.
We don't see it. Some of you are walking through some things right now. You don't understand it. We got a word from God for you this morning. He will not leave you, nor will he forsake you. Come on, somebody. Where are you at this morning? You want to draw close to him? Do you need to draw closer to him? Is his spirit raining on you? Has calamity been raining on you? What's been saturating your world? I want his spirit to saturate us this morning. This morning, we don't understand everything. Till it starts raining. You don't understand, Pastor. You don't understand the totality of the Word of God. Until it starts raining. That's what Pastor meant. That's what that word he preached a couple weeks ago meant. That's what the Scripture means when he says, till it starts raining. And you got to readjust some things. Noah wanted to quit. Do you want to quit this morning? Well, I encourage you to let the Holy Ghost rain on you. You got joy this morning? Then let that joy, as we come to the altar, let it be filled with more joy. For in his presence is fullness of joy. Would you come? I need thee. Come on, lukewarm, say to God, would you come? Mamas and dads, elders, leadership, would you come? It's a faith walk. You gotta walk in faith.